Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now. Have you noticed that people say so often, "I'm sorry," for whatever reason? I've heard that more over the last year than ever before. And how does that make you feel when they say it to you? What would you rather hear? What would you rather have experienced before that word even came out of their mouth, or these three little words, "I'm sorry"? My name is Denise Thompson. I am guiding my clients to their optimal health in body, mind, and finances using my present knowledge and experiences, as well as my prior ones as a nurse, fitness trainer, educator, best-selling author, and Blog Talk Radio host. We can learn from the past, apply it in the present, and plan, work, or look towards a better future. Titles don't really matter, though our actions do. And that is what I want to hone in on today. As I said, over the last year, I've been hearing "I'm sorry" so often and thought, how could that be expressed differently and more effectively and maybe even heartwarmingly? So I was thinking, why do we say "I'm sorry"? Is it because we missed an appointment, a post on social media, we were late for something, or not dressed according to code, or whatever the reason? The easiest way out is to say, "I'm sorry." But can you differentiate between "I'm sorry," "I'm so sorry," "I am sorry," "I really am sorry," "I'm sorry"? You know, I mean, intonation has a lot to do with it. And yet, we still just use these three little words because they're the easiest ones. And we teach little children when they do something wrong, because they can't talk in long sentences or anything yet, we teach them to say, "I'm sorry," when they didn't want to do something and they threw something across the room, or they threw some food from the table on the floor because they didn't want to eat it. I mean, I've seen all these things during my life. So I know there are situations where we teach the little ones that. And it sticks with us while we grow up, become adults, and even later in our adult life. So what can we do differently? For example, how can we rephrase "I'm sorry" so people are so the people we are addressing know and feel that we mean it? That is so important. So let's give a few examples. For example, somebody is ill. Instead of saying, "I'm sorry you're ill," what does that say? Okay, not really much. But if we say, "I wish you a speedy recovery," or "I wish you all the best that you get well quickly," or something like that, it is, number one, takes a little bit more effort. Number two, to me, it sounds more sincere. Or when somebody dies, instead of just saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss," that can be taken in different ways. Or if you say, "I am so sorry for your loss," sure, intonation makes a difference. My thing that I love to say, and it's helped me when I lost so many loved ones lately, is, "My thoughts and prayers are with you. May you keep the wonderful memories alive in your heart." When somebody dies, it doesn't mean they have to be wiped from our memory. It just means they're no longer physically present with us. However, they're still in our hearts. When somebody was in an accident or had an accident, instead of saying, "I'm sorry," you could say, "I'm so happy it's not worse. I mean, look at what else could have happened. You got away really well." And I'm saying that because a very loved person of mine, a person that I love dearly, had three accidents within the last 6 weeks. None of them were this person's fault, but they happened. There were events and they happened. The first one, I was called and said that the person had to go to the ER. And I go, ugh. The second one was called. The person got T-boned on the road. The truck is totaled, but the person's not hurt. I go, wow, that is awesome. And the third one was, I'm okay. And I wrote back, okay, what happened, where, and how? And I got the answer, oh, somebody hits the vehicle. But thank goodness the person who was driving the vehicle was already in the office and not in the vehicle. So the vehicle needs to be replaced again, or at least two radiators need to be replaced, and tires need to be replaced, and body work needs to be done. That is just things. It's a vehicle that got damaged. But the person who was intended in driving it was away and did not get hurt. So that is so amazing. I mean, we never know what happens. And I just go, I am so glad you were not in that vehicle. I mean, even the first time when the person got T-boned, it was interesting enough that the driver, the person who got T-boned, realized that he or she would get hit and just went into the same direction as the person who came to hit. And because of that split second reaction, the truck got totaled from just behind the driver's seat because the reaction was perfect to go with the flow. And so, yeah, the back tires were taken out. The back door was totally damaged. They couldn't open it up. And the driver did not get injured. And the other one, lo and behold, was able to run away, take off with the car and flee, despite the fact that that car was not as heavy as the truck, and the person never was found. But the one that I'm talking about was safe and sound and had good reaction. So that's what I'm saying. When we miss the birthday, what do we say? I'm sorry. You know what? I know. I apologize for not being there. My work held me back and I could not get out. But you know what? When can we make it up? I want to make it up to you. When can we do something? Let's see when, where, what, and sync it and put it in the schedule, and then it's going to happen. I will not let anything else hold me back from it. Doesn't that sound so much better than just saying, I'm sorry? Or the same with weddings, when we miss a wedding. There might be many reasons why we missed weddings, especially right now. Well, let's not just say, I'm sorry, I missed it, or I'm sorry, I'm going to miss it. Let's plan ahead and figure out a way to make it good. The same with graduations. Can you believe it's towards the end of April? And people who graduated last summer are still going through graduations. I see it every time I'm on campus going for my bike ride, that there are just a few people in their caps and gowns taking graduation pictures. I mean, it's been spread out like crazy for a year almost already. And when I graduated, we were thousands of people either outdoors or in a stadium or convention center or something. And we all graduated at the same time, and it was usually for hours, you know, till the whole celebration was through. But that was so much fun because we felt that unison, that holding together, that accomplishment on how many people got it done. So I just feel like, oh my, things have changed, but we can change too. We can adapt for the better and make the best out of it. So it's usually not that one event they missed that hurts us emotionally. It's that they were not there for the support during the time needed. Then the only three words were, I'm sorry. So that's not good enough. And, you know, I just, I just posted 2 days ago my dad's 10th death anniversary. I flew from the U.S. to Switzerland in February of, when was it? 2011, yeah, 10 years. And because I knew that my dad was not doing well, and I wanted to see him once more before it was too late. And when I looked at him, I knew it's not going to last much longer from my nursing experiences that I have had and all the things I learned. And lo and behold, it was barely 2 months later, he was gone. So I went back within a week afterwards for the funeral, which at that time was no problem. But now things are a little bit different. So in order to shed a little bit more light on that sorry situation and what we could do, I want to read you a couple of stories that have made a huge impact on me and on many others, obviously, who look forward to it. And the first one comes out of the book, The Dash, Making a Difference with Your Life by Linda Ellis and Mac Anderson. And the chapter is Words Worth Their Weight in Gold. And it was written by John E. Pilgrim. When I read the poem, The Dash, and watched the short movie that accompanied the poem, I was immediately moved. I was determined to share the poem with my friends and coworkers. Fortunately, I worked in a senior role with a direct influence on hundreds of pharmacy managers, pharmacists, and health professionals for the largest nonprofit HMO in the world. And before I was done, all of them heard and read The Dash. I shared with every manager that they could not effectively lead unless they knew who they were and why they served others, and I selected Dash as the inspiration that allowed me to serve in the way I did. I gave hundreds of the Dash to managers, doctors, and pharmacists alike. Every time a gift was given, I explained my daily ritual of watching the Dash and then taking about 30 minutes to pray and meditate before really starting my day. I wanted all to know that I just didn't show up in a cheerful, optimistic mood. My day was governed by preparation to make sure my daily Dash was good for me and affected others positively. Over the years, I watched the service scores rise and rise, and believe much of this improvement was nurtured by individuals who realized that they made a difference in the lives of those around them. I was proud to witness people grow at work, and that growth followed them into their homes. I retired late 2009, and those who worked with me sent hundreds of emails a month telling me of things they have done positively for others. I came out of retirement in October 2011 and have a daunting job in front of me as I try to build a team of professional winners in the new pharmacy environment. One of the first things I did was to buy every new pharmacist a copy of The Dash and tell them if they want to know how I think to please read the book, but more importantly, to read it for themselves because it would improve their lives. The Dash is so moving that when others stop to hear it, their lives are literally changed. Mine was. It has helped me have a vision of what is important and what isn't, and has made me realize how we all interact with others as we progress on this journey of life. Words that provide loving direction are worth their weight in gold. Pretty darn awesome, isn't it? And for the ones who don't know what the Dash poem is all about, I'm going to read that just so you know where the information came from. Once in a great while, I'll read something that touches the core of my soul. Reading The Dash by Linda Ellis was one of those times. The words from this beautiful poem summarize what this book is all about. I hope you love it as much as I do. The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came her date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. So this person that they mentioned here was born in 1934, and then there was the dash, and the person died in 1998. So that's what that means. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on Earth, and now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. That means being present, not just at the end, but during the time, and just reach out to people and help them. Okay. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's action to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? And I think it is a very powerful poem, and it leaves a lot of thinking, actually, because, yeah, while we're alive, we can make changes and make a difference in other people's lives. And actually, I want to go into something else that I have touched on at the beginning, different ways of saying I'm terribly sorry or I'm sorry or something like that. So one of them, and I think there's 18 ways of doing it, one of them is my apologies for everything that's happened. While my apologies might sound formal, this is best for a less casual setting when you might have taken a misstep. This is ideal for the workplace, formal events, and school. It's also a great way to express regret. Second one, my bad. Let me see how I can fix this. On the other end of the spectrum is my bad. The less severe, this is an appropriate way to say you're sorry if you've only made a small mistake. For example, if you lost something, you might say, my bad, let me get it replaced. 3, thank you for taking the time to work with me on this. Sometimes you shouldn't say sorry at all, especially at work or dealing with challenging situations. You can thank someone for their patience, help, or anything else they've done to assist you during this time. I'm sorry sometimes comes across as demeaning or out of place, so consider saying thank you instead. 4, I'm sorry for my actions. Here's what I'll do differently next time. Actions always speak louder than words. While saying you're sorry is always a good idea, you can also follow up with suggestions for what you'll do differently next time. Self-improvement takes self-reflection, and growth is a two-way street. I love that. 5, what can I do better next time? Instead of saying I'm sorry, ask what you can do. If you don't know what to do better next time, why not ask? They might have some ways you can improve, and they might be willing to help you learn and improve. What a wonderful way to look at it. 6, that didn't go as well as planned. You're right. Next time will be better. Sometimes go wrong that are outside of your control. You can still do better, and you can still be optimistic about the future. It's okay to look to tomorrow and encourage others to stay positive. This is shocking news. Okay, so that's if you lose somebody, so instead of saying sorry for your loss. This is shocking news. I'm so sorry for what you're going through. If something happened unexpectedly, your loved one might not know what to think. Be there with them by apologizing for his sudden shocking news. 8. All my warmest wishes to you and your family. Sometimes short condolence messages are the best choice. Sending your warm wishes and love is often what someone needs in a time of pain and sorrow. 9. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to help. As we've said, actions always speak louder than words. If you don't know what to say after a tragedy, offer to be there with kind actions. You might help out around the house, make phone calls, or cook a warm meal. All of these small actions add up to big change. 10. I'll always be here if you need a shoulder to cry on. Again, let your actions speak for you. Sometimes saying I'm sorry isn't enough. Sometimes people just want to feel listened to. Lend an ear to someone in need, even if they don't take you up on it right away. If you're in my thoughts now and you're in my thoughts now and always is number 11. In addition to saying you're sorry for this loss, let the individual know that you're thinking of them. Grief is often very isolating. Being there in any way you can is a huge help, no matter how small it feels at the moment. 12. My heart breaks for you. I'm so sorry for what you're experiencing. Last but not least, put real empathy and compassion behind your apology. Your words can't take away this pain, but they can be there for someone in need. To say I'm terribly sorry for the inconvenience. 13. I'm sorry things didn't work out right. Let's chat about how we can improve. Most of the time, people just want to feel heard and understood. Saying so sorry to hear that goes a long way, and it paves the ground for real change in the future. While this won't completely make up for any problems in the past, it inspires progress and innovation. 14. I want to extend my sincerest apologies for this experience. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Another way to ensure people feel heard is to thank them for bringing something to your attention. This feedback is how you improve, whether you're dealing with coworkers, school peers, or even family. Make the most of it and become a better you. 15. I'm sorry you feel disappointed. I understand what you mean. Instead of apologizing vaguely, be specific. Why are you sorry? In this example above, the individual apologizes for making someone feel disappointed. This is an experience we can all relate to. Identifying this specific feels much more genuine. 16. Thanks for your patience. I'm still learning how to do. You don't always need to apologize for any inconvenience. If you're new to a situation or you're improving, rather thank them for being patient. This goes a long way towards building trust and shows that you value their input. 17. I'm really sorry about that. Here's what I'm going to do differently in the future. People like to see real-life action behind apologies. While saying you're sorry is a great first step, it shouldn't be your only step. It needs to be followed by what you plan to do differently to avoid this happening again. And 18, that sounds like a big inconvenience. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. Finally, instead of a vague I'm sorry message, be clear that you're apologizing about the inconvenience specifically. It does no good to dance over the real issue. Being straightforward is almost always the best strategy in these situations. So those are just some suggestions on how to make a change and actually use different ways to say that you're sorry. If you want those, let me know. But anyway, now I just want to conclude that I'm sorry has different ways of being expressed, different meanings, and we need to make the most out of it. And I want to give you guys a gift. The first one is, if you want to learn something about yourself, be it mindset, you want to change your mindset, or you want to change your health in body and mind or in finances, let me know and I'll offer you a free health goal strategy session. And I also send out a weekly email health newsletter with a recipe, a healthy activity, and some other great information that's valuable. So if you choose one or both of those, please send me a note to coachdenise@ctdigest.net. It's in the transcript. You can just copy and paste it into the email thing so you can send me one. Or if you have any suggestions, questions, or you would like the 18 ways of saying I'm sorry, let me know when I can send that to you in an email form. If you have something else or you don't have email, let me know on 562-335-4956 for voicemail or text only. I do not answer the phone. And if you heard me speak before, you know that I do that out of respect to the person I'm on the phone with. I want to give them my full attention and not be distracted with a gazillion different other things to do. I do not multitask when I'm on the phone. So it's pure focus. And that's why I do not answer the phone if you just call. But if you leave me a voice message and your name and phone number, then I can put you in my contact information, and then the next time we can set up a time to call and talk, and I will answer and I will work with you. So I hope that this episode has been of value to you, especially since right now everybody is saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I hear it so many times a day, and I'm getting really tired of it. And that's why I thought this might have a lot of value, and we all can learn from it and through the examples given. And if you want to know more about the two stories I read, let me know and I'll give you the titles again. I did put the titles down and who wrote it, so you can actually search it by that and find it. But if you want the books, the first one is The Dash, and that was the one with, let me see, that was the one with the words worth their weight in gold. And the other one was No Glass Ceiling, Just Blue Sky, A Women's Guide to Building Great Teams by Marcy Blokovyak, forward by Mac Anderson. So those are the two books I used for the readings today. All right. I wish you all a wonderful rest of the week, a happy, healthy, and safe weekend. Be blessed, stay empowered, and until next week, take care.